According to a series of internal emails, the U.S. Forest Service's Office of General Counsel voiced several concerns about the agency's apparent intent to fire Petersburg-based biologist Glenn Eith. Instead of dismissal, Forest Service Assistant General Counsel Tammy Trost initially recommended a 15-day suspension. Along with mediation, she believed the case was, quote, ripe for resolution. In a November 21, 2007 email, Trost told the Forest Service Employees Relations Chief that she had several concerns that led her to recommend the reduction in penalty. Trost questioned the agency's decision to put Eith on administrative leave 4 months earlier. She was worried there was, quote, a potential reprisal claim here. Federal law prohibits employers from retaliating against a whistleblower employee. Trost did not respond to a call for this story. But her emails and other documents were released by the Forest Service this year in response to a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by Eith's widow, Marquetta. The Eugene-based group Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics has been working with Eith and her attorney on the case. Andy Stahl is the group's director.
The whole idea of the lawsuit was to put the Forest Service in a no-win situation, just as they did with Glenn. They either had to defend the indefensible, where they had to somehow show that they were not retaliating against Glenn, even though the documents show conclusively otherwise, or they had to give them to us. And I think rather than get a judge to find that they retaliated, rather than risk that, they just decide to throw in the towel and let people make their own conclusions by reading the documents.
The Forest Service did release some documents under Marquetta Eith's original Freedom of Information Act request last fall, but withheld others until Eith filed the lawsuit. Spokesman Phil Salmon says it can take time for the agency to determine what can and can't be released under FOIA as well as federal privacy rules.
It can get very cloudy at times, and you do have to have two or three different sets of eyes really examine some of the paperwork to see which one is the governing body and then what rules do you follow in order to actually release that information. It can take several months sometimes.
By the Forest Service's own accounts, Glenn Eith was a 22-year employee with fully successful performance ratings. His troubles with the agency appear to have started after he began to publicly challenge its decisions. Eith believed the agency was retaliating against him for his whistleblower activities, including a 2006 lawsuit, which he filed with the Environmental Ethics Group and won. That suit resulted in a judge's ruling that the Forest Service had illegally reconstructed some logging roads on the Tongass. The agency maintains that the disciplinary action was for other reasons and not in retaliation for the whistleblowing. The Environmental Ethics Group's Andy Stahl says the documents show that the Forest Service doesn't understand the intention of the Whistleblower Protection Act.
It's intended to ensure that public employees can uphold the law. The Forest Service viewed that, when Glenn did it, as treasonous. He was a traitor. He was a turncoat. The Forest Service thinks it's above the law.
Stahl's group has now posted many of the related documents on its website. They include a February 1, 2008 ethics review of the Forest Service's case against Eith. His superiors had proposed firing him for improper conduct because he had given an environmental group a draft wildlife report that he had authored, and because he had lent his name to a fundraising letter for the 2006 road building lawsuit. In regards to the wildlife report, the Forest Service's ethics official, Raymond Sheehan, reported, quote, "We cannot determine with any level of confidence that Mr. Eith violated any ethical rules." The ethics official found that the allegations about the fundraising letter appeared supported and could have violated ethics rules. But that alleged violation was not enough for the agency's lawyers to recommend removal. In a subsequent email, Forest Service lawyer Tammy Trost told Employee Relations Chief Melvin Shibuya, quote, "If you want to reduce the removal to a 45-day suspension, we think that's defensible." By this time, Eith had already been on administrative leave for nearly 8 months, awaiting a decision on whether he would be fired. Shibuya worried about the agency's internal deliberations becoming public. He recommended colleagues destroy some of the emails related to the case. Shibuya defended that position in an interview with the Juno Empire this month, in which he's quoted as saying, quote, "Federal employees delete emails all the time." The newspaper article pointed out Department of Agriculture rules requiring the retention of email that contains substantive comments documenting USDA actions. Shibuya did not respond to a call for this story. Tongass Forest Service spokesperson Phil Salmon says it's not Forest Service policy to destroy emails.
I would say no. The Forest Service, like any government agency, we are responsible to maintain And we have fairly strict controls over records and document management. Now, I certainly don't know what other information or direction Mr. Shibuya may have received from OGC or anyone at the Albuquerque Service Center in relation to this case. He may have had different direction. That's something that I just can't speak to.
Shibuya apparently also differed with the Office of General Counsel. In a February 19, 2008 email, Shibuya recommended that the Tongass supervisor, Forrest Cole, issue his decision on Eath's removal. Shibuya wrote that the Forest Service's Alaska region, quote, should not be paralyzed by the Office of General Counsel's hesitance. But Eath never received a final decision on the disciplinary action. Instead, officials told him in late February 2008 his job was being eliminated due to budget cuts. They said he could apply for a different position under a region-wide reorganization plan. In response, Eath's attorney called this a strategy of, quote, terminating Eath without actually terminating him in the vague hope that he will disappear and the Forest Service will not create an appealable event. Shortly after that, in early March, Eath died in his sleep of sudden cardiac arrest. He was 48 and physically fit. Eath's widow, Marquetta, believes that the many months of stress, of not knowing what would happen, took a toll on Eath's health. She emphasizes that she's continued to pursue this case because she does not want, quote, any other whistleblower who has the courage and determination to come forward to go through what Glenn went through, unquote. The Freedom of Information Act lawsuit is still pending. Eath's attorney has asked the Forest Service to provide a sworn affidavit certifying that it has released all the pertinent documents. And Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics Andy Stahl wants the government to discipline the officials responsible for the actions against Eath. He says the last chapter of the story has yet to be told.
And that's whether the government has the cojones and the integrity to do the right thing by the people who retaliate against Glenn. And I'll tell you right now, the government does not. And I challenge the Obama administration to prove me wrong.
Forest Service officials have not said much publicly about the case. The agency continues to deny there was any whistleblower retaliation. And spokesman Phil Salmon says the ultimate decision to eliminate Eath's job was prompted only by budget cuts.
So the fact that his position was changed because our different forest planning teams changed across the forest was purely coincidental and was not anything that was planned in relation to any of his behaviors, actions, or deeds.
Before his death, Glenn Eath had brought his case to the Federal Office of Special Counsel. That's an independent agency tasked with enforcing the Whistleblower Protection Act. Officials there recommended mediation with the Forest Service and began investigating Eath's claims, but the OSC dropped the case after Eath passed away. Now that more documentation has come out, Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics is asking the watchdog agency to take another look. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.